Gracious Lord, loving Father, thank you. Never seems enough for us to say that, but we come thanking you tonight that you brought us here by your grace, by your mercy. It's awesome to think that from the beginning of time you saw us. You wooed us through your Son. You called us by name and brought us to your cross. We thank you paid the ultimate price through your body and blood that our sins would be covered, that you'd make us a holy and righteous people, your bride, your church, your people. So Lord, thank you that you had this plan and purpose from the beginning of time. You put it into your word and you showed it through your people. How you are so patient, a covenant-keeping God, a God who speaks and keeps that promise, a God who loves with an enduring love. So Lord, open your word to us tonight. Open our ears to hear, unveil our eyes to see, soften our hearts to receive, that we would go forth as witnesses, as servants, as sharing food and light and truth that would set others free. In Jesus' name, amen. I read a story this week about a driver in a car at a set of traffic lights. And they were tooting the horn and they were shaking their fist and yelling abuse, putting on a real treat, and behind them happened to be a policeman. And so the policeman got out of his car, got the driver out of that car, put them down on the curb, handcuffed them and took them off to jail. America, of course, that can only happen in America. Anyway, they put him in a cell. And about some hours later, they brought them out of the cell and gave an explanation why they'd done that. And they said, on the back of your car was the Jesus Loves Me stickers and all the other things about Christianity. And when we saw you yelling abuse and tooting the horn and shaking your fist, we thought, that must be a stolen car, because that wouldn't be a Christian driving it. A little bit like the parable that we've heard tonight, isn't it? Are we ready? Are we watchful? Are we doing the things that that Jesus has asked us to do? I'd like to go back to the interview that Steve did with me about the workplace. And I want you to think about when you first started work. How were you started in work? Were you interviewed? Did you put in a resume? How did you actually come to get the job that you had? I can remember as a young person of 16 years of age and putting in for an apprenticeship with the SEC, and there was some 300 to 400 applications, and I was really blessed to get one. And I think I thought at that time, gee, I must be good. I've beat all those others. Here I am, I've got this job. And I think that's the way that a lot of us might think, that we have what we have because we've done something that's right, or we've been good at what we've done. And in most workplaces, that would be a common thinking. That we're there because we're the right people to be there, and because we're going to do the right job. That's the way of the world though, isn't it? That's the way that the world would have. And majority of people in a workplace would say, well, I'm here because I've got something to add to this. I've got a special purpose to fulfill. You see, when we come to the kingdom, as I said before, it's a flip. It's not the way it is. We are in our workplace for one reason and one reason only. Because Jesus Christ chose us. We're in the workplace because He has put us there. So even in my thinking as an apprentice, it wasn't because who I was or what I could do or what I was going to bring. It's because some manager actually chose me. They had to make a choice out of 300 or 400 students, and they made a choice of me. And to me, even though I wasn't a Christian at that stage, I look at it now and go, there was God. Even though I didn't know Him, even though I didn't follow Him, and even though I didn't worship Him, God chose me and put me there at that time. The heading for tonight's parable was watchfulness. And I can look back now and look over my 41 years of work, and even before I knew Christ, I can see the hand of God. In the industry that I work in, it's extremely dangerous. I was a pole man, I was a linesman, and we worked on lots of dangerous situations and worked all through the day and night in terrible conditions. And I can see many times when the hand of God protected me. I can see many times when the hand of God encouraged me and directed me. I can see the hand of God, looking back now, that He put me aside for a time. I can see the hand of God of the people that He brought across my workplace, the managers that He used to actually bring me closer to His kingdom. And I can see a time when God actually had to break me so that I could know Him. So when we read that parable, there's a number of things that really strike me as I read through them. In the first verse, Jesus talked about being clothed. I want you to think, what do you think that means? What does it mean, being clothed for Christ? Now, most of us would think that it's about the armour, that we need to put on the armour every day. We need to be clothed in the armour because we're going in for battle. I think God has got something far more gentle for us that we need to be clothed in long before we put on the armour. Because just putting on the armour without knowing our Master and not knowing our Lord will be ineffective. We are clothed in Christ's righteousness. We're clothed in the relationship that Jesus has with the Father. We are clothed through the blood that He shed for us, for the price He paid. We are clothed because He has made the way. And that's our clothing. That's that right relationship. It's the place where He has brought us to. Yes, we look at it and Jesus says we need to be ready, we need to be watchful, and we need to be mindful of those things that happen. And I think of that driver that must have taken his eyes off the game for a few minutes and lost his cool. And I often wonder about little rituals that we have and little things that we have in our life that we think are important to us but aren't necessarily important to God. And one of those for me is I have a quiet time every day, and I like to sit in the Word and sit in prayer, and I think that's pretty important. But I love it when the Lord puts someone in the midst of it to see whether I will give it over to be available for Him and be ready for Him. You see, our watchfulness is about every situation that God has placed us in. Can I see Jesus in the midst of this circumstance? Will I know my Master when He comes? How will I know that it's my Master when He comes? How will I be ready for Him when He knocks on the door? How will I know that it's His knock? How will I know that this is Jesus calling on me for this time? We've just gone through a time of prayer, and I think prayer is a very underpinning point of us knowing our Lord. It's a time of conversation. It's a time of understanding His character. It's a time of us aligning His word with our prayers, His will, His purpose, His plan. It's a time when we actually place ourselves in His hands, knowing that He can do all things, of His sovereignty, of His grace, of His mercy. You see, I think that quite often we get ourselves into a Christian walk where we think we're moving along quite well, but we've actually lost the hand of the Master. And we need to be mindful of that. We need to be watching all the time. Am I still walking with my Lord? Do I hear His voice? Do I know His voice? Do I know His will? Am I in His will? I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about an intimacy and a relationship that we walk with every day. Tonight we're talking about servants and masters. I want to share with you four aspects that I see of the Christian walk, if I may. If I was to ask the majority of people here tonight, do you believe Jesus is Lord? I don't think many would say no. I think most people would say, yeah, Jesus is my Lord. I call Him my Lord. I'm under His Lordship. I understand Him as my Lord. I looked through examples of Jesus talking to us about His Lordship. Just bear with me till I find my note. When I read this scripture years and years ago, it challenged me no end, because we all call Him Lord. But Jesus says this in Matthew 7:21-23. Knowing the correct word, password, saying, Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, Master, we preached the message, we bashed the demons, our God-sponsored projects, and everyone talking. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. You did not use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. Our relationship with Jesus is more important than anything we can ever do. Our relationship with Jesus and the power of His resurrection, His sanctification, His redemption, is more important than any works we can ever do. There is no more important relationship with our Lord than that. Jesus said, I never knew you. The next part, I believe, is a continuing progress as we walk with our Lord, is that of Master. And I've already spoken about knowing our Master and hearing His voice and knowing it will be Him when He knocks on the door, knowing that we need to be ready and watch for our Master when He comes. In Luke 17, Jesus gives this parable, which I find quite fulfilling and quite humbling. Will any man of you who has a servant ploughing or tending sheep saying to him when he comes in from the field, come at once and take your place at the table? Will he not instead tell him, get my supper ready, gird yourself, serve me while I eat and drink, then afterwards you yourself shall eat and drink? Is he grateful, and does he praise the servant because he did what he was ordered to do? Even as you do your part, when you have done everything that was assigned and commanded, you say, we are unworthy servants, possessing no merit. We have not gone beyond our obligation. We have merely done what we were asked to do. See, no servant is greater than his master, and no student is above his teacher. And the simple things that Christ has asked us to do, that's it. Are we doing them? Can we go beyond? No, we can't. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Master. There is no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. That is the only way we can come to the Father. And so when we've done everything that we've been asked to do, if we've done it, then we've fulfilled our obligation at that very first level and not beyond. It doesn't make us special. It doesn't make us anything more than chosen people of the Lord Jesus Christ. My priesthood doesn't make me any more special than any other person that has just come to Christ today. I'll explain that at the end. Jesus is teacher. How many people here would say that Jesus is their teacher? Do you see him that way? Yes, we see him as Lord. Yes, we see him as Master. But do we see him as teacher? Well, he's teaching us all the time. He's teaching us about one thing, the Father. Christ constantly revealed the Father. Christ constantly said, there he is. There's my Father. Here he is. There's my dad. This is God. I can do nothing apart from him. He says that of himself. In Matthew 19:16-17, Jesus shares this. And behold, there was a man came up to him saying, Teacher, what excellent and perfect and essential good deeds must I do to possess eternal life? He said to him, Why do you ask me the perfectly and essential good? There is only one good, perfect and essential God. Jesus revealed the goodness. Jesus revealed the perfection. Jesus was our teacher in we have one God, one Father, one baptism, one Spirit, one faith. I love Jesus teaching me because he's gentle, he's true, he's kind, he's patient. I love when Jesus opens up the Word to us. But we have to look in the Word. We have to enter into the prayer. We have to do those things where we would find him. See, the other part about what I meant to say about our workplace versus the kingdom, the world is forever changing. This is unchanging. This is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This will not shift, change, divert, deviate, lie, or anything else, but tell us the truth that will set us free, which we can stand on, which we can build on, which we can walk in, which we can feed on. It's everything. All sufficient. I can remember when I first came to faith, Peter Downs was my first minister, and he used to throw the Bible on the floor and he would stand on it and say, you can stand on the Word of God and it will not shift under your feet. And he used to constantly throw the Bible on the ground, put his feet on it and say, stand on the Word, stand on the Word. It will not shift, it will not deviate. Build on the Word, feed on the Word. The last one that I want to talk to you about in the fall part of our walk with the Lord is Jesus' friend. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would open this word and reveal more than what I could say, that you would bring this alive. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love no one than this has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer I call you servants, because a servant does not know the master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. So whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. There's a real transition here, isn't there? We've gone from Jesus is Lord, Jesus is his master, Jesus is my teacher, to Jesus says, you are my friend. And again, Jesus is saying, recognize me, recognize my Father. Be watchful. Be ready. Be ever observant. Don't worry about what's going on around the world, in the sense of who's controlling. God is in sovereign control. We need not fear. We need not be anxious. A good prayer for you to pray, young people, in your workplace, if you go into employment: Lord, let me find you in the midst of every circumstance. Let me find you the Lord of this moment. Recently, the Lord has been showing me that everything that I see and face, he has paid the price. It is bought. It is redeemed. It is covered. I can't add to it. I can't take away from it. But I can be in it. I don't ask him to take me out of it, because he says, I have placed you in the world. That's faith. Now, I don't say I'm there yet, but it's a journey. I'm not saying that Jesus is my best friend right now, but that's where I want to be. And you might say to me, yes, I accept Jesus as Lord today. I'm struggling with him being my master, and I'm not ready for him to be my teacher, but let me assure you, he will walk with you every step of the way. Never will he leave you. Never will he forsake you. See, the simplicity for me in these scriptures was when Jesus said about knowing the work of God and knowing the will of God. And it's in a couple of places in the Word. It's in John 17:3. Where Jesus says, this is eternal life, that you would know my Father and his Son whom he sent. In John 6:27-29, this is the work of God. Do not toil and doing and producing for food that perishes and decomposes in the using, but strive and work and produce rather for the lasting food which endures continually until eternal life. The Son of Man will give and furnish you with that. For God the Father has authorized and certified him and put his seal of endorsement upon him. And then they said, what are we to do? What may we habitually be working for the works of God? What are we to carry out that God requires? Jesus replied, the work, the service that God asks you, that you believe in the one that he has sent, and you cleave and trust and rely on him. Are we ready for our master? Are we ready to see him? Do we see him now? Would you know him if he walked through the door? Do you see him in Steve? Do you see him in Gordon? Do you see him in Ev? Do you see him in Naomi? Do you see him in Tim? Because he's there. He's here in every one of us? Do you see him in your neighbour? Are you ready watching your neighbour? Do you see him in your manager at the workplace? Do you see him in the people on the road rage? He's there. Do we have those eyes that see and are ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are sovereign. Thank you that you are in all, through all, over all, and above all. And we thank you that all things are possible in you. There is nothing you haven't done on the cross to redeem us, to call us, and to woo us back to your side. Lord, it sounds too simple, it sounds so profound, it sounds that it's not true, but it is true. And Lord, when we place our hope and trust in you, when we believe in you and have faith in you, the heavens are open. Lord, I thank you for your patience, I thank you for your gentleness, and I thank you for the freshness of your mercy every day. And I thank you that you have a plan and purpose for every person here. And I thank you, Lord, that on the day that you return, you will bring it to completion. That the good work that you've started in every person, you will bring it to completion. And that we will sup with you in the heavenly places. We will be with you for eternity. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you. We give you the glory, we give you the honour, we give you the praise. And Lord, thank you, it's nothing that we've done, but by your grace alone. And we thank you that you've clothed us in your righteousness. Ah, be exalted, Lord. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. For it's only in your will that I am free. For it's only in your will that I am free. Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. All of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into your hands. All of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender these into your hands. Lord, thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. You know exactly where we are. You've met all our needs. We would not want for anything but you. So, Lord, we offer ourselves now in complete humility. We offer ourselves that you, in your holiness and righteousness with the Father, would draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.